Si quis diligit me, sermonum meum servabit, et pater meus diliget eum, et ad eum veniemus, et mansionem apud eum faciemus. If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today for the Feast of Pentecost, we return in our Gospel to the final discourse of our Lord to his disciples before his Passion. The passage for today's feast day is taken from the Gospel of St. John. In this discourse, our Lord promises to send the Paraclete, who will teach us all things. Most importantly, he points out that the Holy Trinity can abide in our souls. If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. In this sentence, we see already that for the Holy Trinity to dwell in our souls, we must show God that we love him by obeying his commandments. Let's take a close look at this verse to understand what our Lord has to teach us about love and obedience and how they are related and their consequences. We know from the book of Genesis that it was by the disobedience of Adam and Eve that sin and death entered the world. This has proved to be the template for all sin in the world. Every type of rebellion against the divinely established order is a claim to set oneself as independent of God. We see this today in our world and even in our country. Marxism and its cousins, socialism and communism, are social systems that try to establish a materialistic paradise here on earth, independent of God. Today, in the worst of our modern day sins, we see the rejection of God in the rejection of his commandments and the divinization of man in his prideful attempts to create an earthly paradise. Such attempts by sinful and godless man to create a materialistic utopia are doomed to failure. The rejection of the dependence of man on God results in a destruction of the freedom of man. Before he falls into despair, as he surely will, man will make every effort to raise himself as an equal with God. The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche showed that a will that is separated from God becomes a will to power. Violently assertive and destructive of everything to achieve its desires. A prideful will of this nature sets itself up as God. We see this all around us today, sadly, from those in extremely important places of leadership in this world, and unfortunately, in the church as well. This type of atheism is not an intellectual atheism, but is one of the will, and it is very difficult to cure. Behind this rebellion of man against God is the notion that man today can invent the truth that he needs, as if truth is not something to be received or discovered. Moreover, many today believe that obedience is no more than a subjection. As a consequence, the many ideologies of equality floating around in the world are contrary even to common sense. Against this most ancient of sins, our Lord, the new Adam, gave us the solution: obedience to his commandments. After the original sin, God did not abandon man. He promised instead to send us a Redeemer. Our Lord reversed the sin of Adam and Eve by showing us a singular example of obedience to his Father's will, and obedience unto death. He stood against a modern-day philosophy of pride, which makes the claim that independence means that there must be absolutely no dependence. This is not true. Every constitution of every country that recognizes the various rights and freedoms of man does so by an affirmation that these are given to man and are part of his nature. These are the endowments of a creator. Man, therefore, is always independent. Man, therefore, is always dependent on God. If this understanding is lost, if we forget our dependence on God, then the state takes over the characteristics of a divinity. This is the tragedy played before our eyes today. Being entirely a creation of man and having nothing of God, not even recognizing the dependence of man on God, the modern state will destroy the human spirit. The only way to avoid this evil is to return to a correct understanding of obedience. Obedience is not the blind execution of orders. Otherwise, even many of the Nazis of the Second World War would be considered morally good and upright people. Obedience is something that comes from the love of the divine order and the love of him who gave it. Love is not blind. Before we love something, we must know with what we are falling in love. The merit of obedience comes from love, and with it comes devotion and service. Obedience is servility only to those who have not understood the spontaneity of love. This is the lesson that our Lord has come to teach us. To make reparation for the pride of men, our Lord made himself the son of Joseph and Mary. He humbled himself in obedience to his parents in Nazareth, as St. Luke tells us. He was subject to them. Moreover, if we look closely, his whole life was one of subjection and submission. He had come to do his Father's will, and he obeyed it. He made himself the son of St. Joseph and the Virgin Mary, the Creator making himself subject to his creation. He received the baptism of John, even though it was not necessary for him. He paid the temple tax, even though he is the only begotten Son of God, the same God who established the religion of the temple. He pointed out that the Jewish people must render to the Romans what was theirs, even though they were conquered by them. He also asked that the scribes and Pharisees be obeyed, because they were the established authority. He obeyed the will of his Father unto death, drinking the dregs of the chalice that was prepared for him. In everything, he obeyed his Father. St. Gregory of Nyssa tells us that the proof of love is in one's actions. Love for God is never lazy. If it is present, it accomplishes great things. And if it refuses to work, it is not love. St. Thomas Aquinas expands on this, saying that in the human soul, the will, especially when it's concerned with an end, moves the other powers to their actions. For a person does not rest until he does those things which will bring him to his intended end. And so when a person's will is intent on God as its end, it moves all the powers of the soul to do those things which obtain him. Now it is charity which makes us intent on God, and thus it is charity which causes us to keep the commandments, and thus, through obedience, render us fit to see God. Therefore, it is by charity and obedience that God will make his abode in us. Those who do not keep his commandments do not have this experience. Along with his divine manifestation in our souls, our Lord also promises to send us the Paraclete to teach us all truth. The Paraclete, or Holy Spirit, is the love of God and our consoler in times of tribulations. The Paraclete, or Holy Spirit, is the love of God and our consoler in times of tribulations, whether they are persecutions from without or fear from within. Today at Pentecost, we read of the apostles receiving the Holy Spirit. Further on, we read of how they rejoiced at being considered worthy to be persecuted by the Sanhedrin. The Holy Spirit also consoles us in our sadness over past sins because he gives us hope of forgiveness. After all, when he gave his apostles the power to forgive sins, our Lord said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you will forgive, they are forgiven them." The Holy Spirit moves hearts to obey God. He consecrates us to God. He sanctifies us. His specific role is to conform us to God the Son. For this reason, he is called often the Spirit of Christ. Pentecost is also the time that we see that the apostles finally understood what they had been taught by our Lord all the 3 years of his ministry. They began the work of the church, fearlessly proclaiming the truth. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, our Lord also promises us peace. St. Thomas explains that peace is nothing else than the tranquility arising from order. Things are said to have peace when their order is undisturbed. In a human being, there is a threefold order: that of a person in himself, of a person to God, and of a person to his neighbor. Thus, the human being can enjoy a threefold peace. One peace is interior, when he is at peace with himself and his faculties are not unsettled. His will is directed by right reason. Reason and will direct the appetites. Another peace is peace with God, when one is entirely conformed to his direction. The third peace is with our neighbor, when we live and work harmoniously with those around us. Our Lord in today's Gospel promises us each kind of peace. The peace of Christ brings tranquility both within and without. His indwelling will give us the graces, gifts, and virtues we need to establish this peace in our souls, being troubled neither with sadness nor with fear. The peace of the world is a false one because it is only external. Even the wicked can pretend to have this peace without having the reality of this order in their souls. God gives us a true peace by which we will spread his reign in the world. The peace of the world is also imperfect, while the peace of Christ is perfect, because it is about eternal things, things that neither moth nor rust can touch. Dear faithful, two things led Jesus to undergo death after his discourse: love for God and love for neighbor. He showed this love by the sign of accomplishing what God commands. For this reason, he said that the world may know that I love the Father. With an active love, I go to die. Adding to that, as the Father has given me a commandment, so I do. This is obedience, which is produced by love. We can say that after love, obedience is the thing which will, by which the Father moved him to undergo death. The Father gave this commandment to Jesus as the man, since it was necessary for the salvation of mankind that Jesus the Christ die in his human nature. Let us not hesitate to turn to Our Lady every day. Our Lord spent 3 years teaching his disciples. He spent 30 years with his mother. She will show us how the yoke of our Lord is easy and his burden is light. She will teach us to show a love of God by a true obedience to his commandments. An obedience so strong that it endures unto death. Let us turn to Our Lady, asking her help to welcome her spouse, the Paraclete, into our souls. O Mary, Queen of Peace, cause of our joy, spouse of the Holy Spirit, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.